Friday, April 19th, 2019. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we talk sports with a dose of common sense. We are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Friday to you. We have made it to Fridays, ladies and gentlemen, and that is always a good thing. Hey, I'm not sure if you realize this, but National Clean Out Your Medicine Cabinet Day occurs annually on the third Friday in April. Yes, kids, that is today. The goal is to raise awareness and effectively rid homes of unused or expired prescription and over-the-counter medications sitting in your medicine cabinets, laying around in your nightstands or your kitchen cabinets that have the potential for diversion or maybe even abuse by family members, friends, or just visitors to your home. Your medicine cabinet could be filled with a number of ticking time bombs. You just don't know which drug, when it will happen, or who could be affected. What they are encouraging everyone to do, you go do your part, you dispose of those leftover and unused medications that could possibly lead to misuse. Everyone is encouraged to take time during National Clean Out Your Medicine Cabinet Day to make your home a little more safe. Do your part in helping to fight drug addiction. Review medications wherever you keep them, and you can safely, effectively, and easily dispose of these medications. There are actually sites out there, disposal places that you can get rid of these things online. Now, I can tell you from personal experience, gonna get a little transparent here. When I was in high school, I started getting chronic kidney stones. Like, all the time. I was getting 2, 3, 4 of them a year, constantly. Enough that I ended up having surgeries to get rid of them, I think 4 different times. Now, if you've never had a kidney stone, I'll just walk you through the joys that that is real quick. You get intense pain in your back and in your stomach area. I know people think other areas are involved. They're not. As someone who started getting kidney stones, I think at 16 or 17 years of age, I didn't know what they were. I just knew I was probably going to die. There was just this super intense pain. And then, like I said, I continued to get them for about 20 years. But as soon as you go to the doctor, what is the first thing that they do for you? Well, here's a fistful of Vicodin. Well, here's a few bottles of Percocet. Hopefully they help with the pain. Well, thanks, but can I go ahead and get rid of this pain instead of just covering up with these horrible medications? And I know that I actually had to go through my medicine cabinet and clean a number of things out because I had just bottles and bottles of pain reliever for the things that I was going through. So hey, go through your medicine cabinet, make sure that you get those things cleaned out. And you know, for all of you Major League Baseball players out there, you make sure you clean your medicine cabinet out today because we all know that you guys are still juicing. Don't act like you're clean. The ball is not suddenly just flying out of the park now faster than it was in the late 90s for no reason. Let's not act like Major League Baseball players have suddenly figured out the secret to really cranking out home runs. They were trying to spin that nonsense of, well, they've just really started to understand angles. No, they've really started to understand how to beat that drug test. They just haven't caught you yet. But make sure you get out there and you clean out those medicine cabinets today. Hey, if you'd like to contact us, maybe tell us your favorite medication you have in your medicine cabinet. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are @DailyDoseSports. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you have a suggestion for us here at The Dose. Bring it. Let's hear what it is you have to say. Also, be sure you stop by tpublic.com where you can find the latest Daily Dose gear. Just search Daily Dose. Scroll down until you see our logo, and there you will find a number of Daily Dose items from t-shirts to hoodies to stickers to notebooks. We have heard from a number of listeners that have stopped by and picked up items, are very, very happy with them. TeePublic gets them out to you quickly, so make sure you stop by teepublic.com. Hey, today on the show, we do have a few sports news stories coming out, but then we are going to be finishing up our conversation with longtime basketball coach Russ McKinstry, and we are even going to talk, yes, some Major League Baseball. I know, we don't do it that often, but we're going to talk a little bit of baseball, kind of get his idea on who he likes in MLB this year. And I do also want to get a few thoughts from Coach Mack on the NFL draft. That is going to be here next week. But first, we do have a couple of things we want to talk about. You know, we didn't spend a ton of time yesterday breaking down all of the NFL schedules. We actually did that a few weeks ago. We were looking at which teams were going to have the toughest and which teams were going to have the easiest NFL schedules. So we were a little ahead of the curve on that. So yesterday, when you were hearing about the, oh my goodness, the Oakland Raiders have an absolutely vicious schedule this year. And did you realize that the New England Patriots and Los Angeles Rams have some of the softest schedules in the league? Yeah, we already knew that. We talked about that like a month ago here on The Dose. But you know, after combing over all the schedules, there are a few games that kind of stand out to me. Just a couple of games that I'm like, I want to kind of keep that one in mind. One of the games that kind of stood out to me, on October 20th, we will have the Baltimore Ravens facing the Seattle Seahawks. Now, I don't have any idea how those teams are going to be. I actually think Baltimore could take a step back. I think Seattle will struggle because of all the money that they are paying to Russell Wilson. So that might not be a great game. But do you realize that Earl Thomas, who is now with Baltimore, will be making his return to Seattle? That might be kind of interesting. We remember how he left Seattle, right? Flipping off everyone. Yeah, you kind of wonder if that favor will be returned when he makes his return to Seattle. On October 27th, we have the Minnesota Vikings and their quarterback, Kirk Cousins, going to Washington, where, of course, Cousins had spent his entire career before moving to Minnesota last season. That one might be a little bit interesting. On December 8th, we get a very good matchup as the Kansas City Chiefs go to New England to face the Patriots. We get an AFC Championship rematch. Here's the question we all wonder. Can Patrick Mahomes somehow find a way to get a win against the New England Patriots? And one thing I've got to throw out, I don't think we've talked about this here on The Dose. Did you all see Patrick Mahomes at the Final Four? You saw him in the stands. Even at the championship game, you saw Patrick Mahomes in the stands. Did you notice? I think it was in the Final Four game, and Texas Tech had made a big play to kind of clinch the win, and they zoomed in on Patrick Mahomes, and he kind of did the bow and arrow thing that seems to be, you know, kind of trendy right now. He stretched back the bow like he was shooting the bow and arrow, and then he released the front hand first. So let me see if I have this straight. Patrick Mahomes allowed the bow to smack him in the face. He's clearly never shot a bow and arrow in his life, because that wouldn't have worked. Push that aside. We'll see if Patrick Mahomes can get a win at Gillette Stadium against the Patriots on December 8th. And then on December 22nd, we have another interesting return because the New York Jets go to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers in a game that we probably won't care that much about, right? Well, except that running back Le'Veon Bell will be making his return to Pittsburgh. Remember, the city that he sat out on and refused to play for quite a bit of money because he wanted a bigger deal? Yeah, that might be one we pencil in as well. But you know, one thing I always look at is the slate of Thanksgiving games. And this year, again, yeah, they're not great. In the first game, we get the Chicago Bears versus the Detroit Lions. I mean, is there any reason ever to get excited about the Detroit Lions? The Lions just don't inspire much excitement, so I'm not sure about that one. The second game would be the Buffalo Bills going to Dallas to face the Cowboys. Who ever wants to see the Buffalo Bills? I mean, besides Raymond, who has come into the Dose a few times, but other than that, are you lining up to see the Buffalo Bills on Thanksgiving? I'm not. That'll be a post-turkey nap right there. And then the late game will be the New Orleans Saints going to Atlanta to face the Falcons. Both teams should be good, but doesn't it kind of seem like in that NFC South, all these teams kind of take turns, who's going to be better than we thought, and then the other team takes a total nosedive? So you know one of these teams is probably going to be awful at this point in the season. But you know, I always struggle looking at the NFL schedule this far in advance. We haven't even seen the NFL draft yet. I mean, what if somehow, let's say, Washington were to trade up for the rights to draft Kyler Murray? Hey, all of a sudden, I'm pretty interested in watching Washington. But right now, I look at some of the games on the schedule and I go, yeah, I don't really care about that at all. And on the other side, there are going to be teams that drop off. We look at them last year and we say, hey, that's a playoff team from last year. They're going to be really good again this year. Yeah, except for it never works out that way. We could be looking at some of those Thanksgiving games and saying, well, I mean, we should have the Saints plowing over Atlanta, but I don't know. Maybe New Orleans takes a step back. They lost some people in free agency. They didn't have much money to spend. Maybe Atlanta steps up and it's actually the Falcons blowing them out. It's just really tough to look at these games this far in advance and coming up with a realistic scenario. If you listen to the big sports networks right now, they are talking about the NFL schedules and they are all saying the same thing. Hey, you know, I'm looking at this team. I'm kind of seeing 10-6. Hey, you know, I'm looking at this team. I'm thinking 9-7, 10-6. Everyone's not going to go 9-7 or 10-6. I got news for you. There are going to be a couple of 4-12 teams. Nobody wants to say that on those stations, though. Hey, you know, I'm looking at Miami this year. They're obviously trying to tank. I think they're going to go 3-13. No one's going to say that. But we all know it's true. Looking at these schedules this early, it's a little bit tough, at least until after the draft and we kind of have an idea of who you're going to be. But until then, it's really tough. Hey, these things change week to week during the season, let alone 6 months in advance. I mean, by the time we get to December, Le'Veon Bell could be sitting out because he wants another new contract. So while I like looking forward to stuff as much as anyone, it's really hard until we get a little further into the year. One final thing, you know, we talked a little bit over the past few weeks about the struggles that UCLA had in finding their new head coach. The Bruins offered their head men's basketball job to a few guys that turned it down before Mick Cronin finally announced he would leave Cincinnati and move to Los Angeles. Well, as bad as that was, and it was rough, UCLA has nothing on St. John's University, who has also offered their head coaching position now to three different candidates after Chris Mullin abruptly resigned at the end of the season. Arizona State head coach Bobby Hurley, Chicago Loyola's coach Porter Moser, and now Iona's Tim Clouse have all been approached by the St. John's Red Storm, and they have all said the same thing. Yeah, thanks, but no thanks. Well, just like UCLA, it looks like the fourth time will be the charm for St. John's, because now it looks like they are finally going to be settling on former Arkansas head coach Mike Anderson. But I am noticing a trend here with both UCLA and St. John's. I just think so many of these programs have overinflated egos. Hey, if we wanted to, we could get anyone to come coach here. We could go get John Calipari, or we could go get Bobby Hurley, or we could go get Porter Moser. We could go get Rick Barnes if we really wanted to. Hey, kids want to come here to our university. Think of our tradition. We are in Los Angeles, or we are in New York City. This is a basketball mecca. It is just untapped for now. Yeah, or it's a completely barren wasteland with all of the distractions and none of the perks. Because I have news for both UCLA and St. John's. Kids today, they don't know John Wooden. They don't know Joe Lapchick or Frank McGuire or Louis Carneseca or Jim Herrick. They don't remember when Pauley Pavilion or Madison Square Garden were rocking for these programs. And they sure don't know about guys like Lou Alcindor or Bill Walton or Malik Sealy or Ed O'Bannon or even Walter Berry. They know this. They know they don't see you in the big dance on TV. Your facilities are still back in the 60s and you can't seem to put together winning seasons. And that's all they see. And so you might think, hey, we're St. John's. We just roll out the invitation and people start coming to be our head coach. No, they don't. This is not 1970. Everything is completely different. And both of these programs probably need to take a long, hard look in the mirror and see some of their flaws. And both UCLA and St. John's need to do that. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're not gonna do it, but they should is what I'm saying, because the game has passed both of them by. The only way these two programs are gonna fix anything is to start going out and getting good people and start changing your approach to the game. And then you probably need to get a modern day budget involved in both of these programs. Otherwise, both these schools are gonna stay right where they're at, thinking they are something that they are not and thinking they can get whoever they want, when in reality, they are one of the lower teams on the totem pole. But it's also hard to tell them that. And they just end up staying right where they are. Hey, coming back, we're going to be finishing up our interview with basketball coach Russ McKinstry. We have talked college hoops. We have talked NBA playoffs. Today, we are going to be discussing the Major League Baseball season and looking forward just a little to that NFL draft. We're going to get back to that conversation right after this. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping you need to do, whether it's for yourself, maybe you have birthdays coming up, maybe you have holidays coming up, just remember, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. April's Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Showdown. When the time for talking is over and there are scores to be settled, these pop culture heavy hitters are always ready for a showdown. Hey, join us as we celebrate iconic battles with epic gear. April's Loot Crate theme features items from Captain Marvel, Aquaman, and Godzilla, King of the Monsters. But remember, if none of those franchises interest you, you can always go over to Loot Crate. You can choose from a selection of crates. You can get a monthly subscription of crates that'll arrive in your mailbox every month. Or you can just go over there and order individual items. And remember, they have a ton of things in any franchise that you can think of. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for listening to the Daily Dose. So this week, we have been fortunate enough to be joined by longtime friend of mine, Russ McKinstry, has coached basketball for years. He has worked in athletic administration for years, so he just gets sports. So far this week, we have recapped the NCAA tournament. We discussed the NBA playoffs. Today, we are going to be talking a little about Major League Baseball and begin to look forward to the NFL draft, which is already next week. Let's jump back into that conversation with Coach Mack right now. We haven't done it much. We don't talk much baseball here on the Daily Dose because I try to stay awake during the show every day, so I can't talk a lot of baseball. But I told the listeners that this year I was going to do my best to try to cheer for the Colorado Rockies. I think this franchise has a history of operating like a minor league team, despite the fact they are actually in the majors, and they're getting major league gate because these crazy people in Colorado go to these games like they're nuts. They pay those ticket prices. You know, Colorado seemed to be trying to do a better job this last year. They re-signed Nolan Arenado. We know that was a big thing because primarily good free agents leave this town. And they went and got Daniel Murphy, who's banged up and, you know, he's not even playing or whatever. But they also seem to be paying for previous sins this year because they are not just bad so far this year. They are awful. The Rockies, I think, are like 3-11 or something right now. Are they going to be eliminated by May? What in the world is wrong with your Colorado Rockies, Coach?
I think they made a huge mistake in thinking that the lack of offense in the playoff series against both the Cubs, you know, and that playing game, and then when they played the Brewers, I think they thought that was abnormal and not a consistent truth to who they really are. And I think they're finding out, especially with the injuries that they have to Dahl and McMahon and Daniel Murphy, I think they're finding out that, you know, their ability to generate offense is just absolutely pathetic. And their, you know, 3, 4, and 5 pitchers are pretty average at best. And that's a bad formula. That's a formula to be, you know, 10 games under 500 unless things really happen to go your way. So injuries, poor pitching at the back end of the rotation, and the fact that they probably didn't address their offensive needs. You know, you have guys like Ian Desmond, you know, who is just horrific. And I say, you know, you can look at the averages and look at it from that perspective. I look at it from clutch hitting, you know, the ability to actually perform when you need someone to perform and get a hit under pressure. And I think that's their biggest downfall is they just do not have people that hit well in clutch situations. You know, when they're down 4 and nobody cares, they hit. When they're up 4, nobody cares, they hit. But when it comes time for real, you know, game winning type actions, we just don't have the type of clutch players that it takes to be a really good team.
Coach, I look at the Colorado Rockies and I hate to make this reference, but do you remember when like Team USA and the men go play in the World Cup and they play soccer? And obviously, you know, soccer here in the US is not our thing and it's not our sport. But we go play like Argentina, and I watch the game, and I'm not a soccer guy, but I watch the game, and I go, I don't know what we're playing, but we're not playing the same game as Argentina's playing. I look at the Colorado Rockies, and when they're playing like the Dodgers, or they're playing, you know, the big dogs, you mentioned Milwaukee,
yeah,
we're not playing the same game that they're playing. They're playing at a totally different level than what we're trying to, you know, duct tape this thing together. They're actually going out there and playing with real performers.
Yeah, I think that is truth at both the pitching and hitting levels. You know, I think the biggest thing the Rockies, and bless their hearts, I think it's the curse of Coors Field. We have guys that swing for the fences every place they go, no matter what the situation is. So they're chasing bad pitches. They're taking swings longer than they should be taking, not short, compact, you know, which a typical baseball player does in every other major league city. We fall in love with the home run, and we can't adjust to pitching. We can't get hits when we need to because all they want to do is jack home runs. And that's just my opinion, but I think there's some truth to that. I just think that the long ball at 5,280 feet it gets in their system and they love to see the ball launched, but it's just not reality. You know, it's not how baseball is really played.
Well, and it's not a coincidence that when they do go away from Coors, their production does drop. And I think you're exactly right. I think they go to these other parks and think they're going to play them the same way they do here. It hasn't worked, and it never has. And really, in the history of this franchise, I don't know. The Rockies, they are really, really struggling. Coach, it seems to be the usual suspects in Major League Baseball again. I know they've started slow, but I just feel like the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, I don't know, the Astros, I'll throw the Cubs in there. They've started slow, but they're coming, aren't they? It's going to be the big dogs again because this dang league won't institute a hard cap. So we have, you know, the big money franchises are the ones that are going to win every single year.
Yeah, you know, I think besides the Rockies, the Yankees are the team that's probably beat up the most. And I think they got 10 or 12 guys on the injured list. And once they get those guys back, they're going to be really good. And I'm really happy to see our former Rocky, DJ LeMahieu. I think he's hitting like 400 for him and playing really well.
Of course he is.
Ottavino's pitching pretty well for him. And, you know, Tulowitzki, of course, is hurt.
Right.
That was a given. But yeah, I think the big dogs, Dodgers, I think are going to be right there. They, you know, everybody kind of was down on the Dodgers because they let a lot of their better players supposedly go. But the Dodgers knew exactly what they had with their younger players, and their younger players are better than the players they let go. So yeah, I think the Western Division is just the toughest division that Colorado could possibly be in because you got the Giants and the Dodgers, and you know the Padres are starting to play a little bit better, but you have the Giants and the Dodgers who, you know, they know how to win. They're organizations that are committed to winning, and it's hard to bypass those teams.
Yeah, it is. And you know, even a team like Arizona, while they're not a big dog out there, you go, yeah, but on any given night, they'll play with anyone.
Yeah.
And they've got some talent in their lineup as well. I want to go on record as saying I am cheering for the Tampa Bays and the Seattles and the Milwaukees because without that hard cap in there, I'm cheering just for small market teams. I know it's an uphill battle, but I'm just sick of the same teams every single year in Major League Baseball.
I'm with you. I love the Brewers, man. I love their pitching staff. And
yeah.
They've got some, they're really scary. I think they are the team that maybe is the one to look out for in the National League and American League. You're right. Seattle's off to a great start. They're extremely hot right now. And Tampa Bay, you never talk about them, but they, you know, won 90 games last year and they're always right there and in a very, very tough division. So yeah, it's fun. It's just kind of like what's going on in basketball right now and what happened at the NCAA March Madness. You had some new blood in Texas Tech, Virginia, and NBA, you got, you know, the Bucks coming around and you got the Jazz and Nuggets. And it's just fun when money doesn't completely dominate every aspect of sport and you let some of these other teams in.
All right, Coach, we're going to shift over something that's going to probably upset us both, but we have to do it. The NFL draft is coming and it's coming very, very quickly. If you are the Arizona Cardinals, I'm going to give you the top pick in the NFL draft. Who would you pick? Who would you be taking if you're Arizona right now?
You know, so difficult. They're going to Kyler Murray, supposedly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they dangled that as a trade opportunity to get some, you know, real significant upgrades in multiple positions. But if they stick with it, I think they probably go with Kyler Murray. I think people saw Baker Mayfield and what a strong personality at the quarterback position can do for a franchise. Patrick Mahomes, obviously at KC. I think everybody's fallen in love with the potential of what these young guys can do. So I think Arizona probably most likely will stick with that and go with Kyler Murray. And I can't blame them. I really can't. We talked about this on your shows before, the way the rules are, the way the game is transgressed into what it has become, a dynamic run, pass, do it all type quarterback is just so valuable in what the game is offering today. So I think they stay with Kyler.
Coach, I think you make a really good point, though. I think they dangle that pick out there.
Yeah.
And with as many flaws as they have and as many holes as they have to fill, that's not a bad spot to be in because maybe you go out there and get two or three players instead of just the one. I think that might be the ticket. And if they don't get the deal that they want, then yeah, you go ahead and maybe you take Murray and maybe he's a franchise changer. You know, if nothing else with Kyler Murray, I think he brings at least an identity to your team where people go, well, yeah, I'll tune in and watch Arizona tonight because right now I don't want to watch him.
know, you're right. Yeah, and that's the formula that I would use is what you just mentioned. If I could get 2 or 3 out of it, then I would bypass and fill some much needed holes. But my worst case scenario is I get him and I'm going to draw people in. People like me who don't even like the Cardinals, I'll watch.
Right.
I love watching the kid play and I want to see how he does. So, you know, and it's kind of like what happened to Johnny Manziel, except for this guy's legit. He's a real football player, unlike Johnny Manziel. So yeah, it's what happened to us when we had Tim Tebow, you know. It was ugly, unorthodox, and you're thinking, what in the heck's going on here? But I guarantee you, you loved watching it every Sunday.
Oh, you tuned in, and you had to tune in because you had no idea it was going to happen. And if nothing else, you would generate some excitement around a franchise that desperately needs it.
Yeah.
Okay, Coach, I hate to end it on a sour note, but I'm going to. What is your best case scenario for our Denver Broncos in this draft?
Oh, man. What are they going to do? You know, I think if they could get White, the linebacker, that's probably what would best help us moving forward. What actually is going to happen? a lot of people talk about the tight end out of Iowa, Hockenberg or whatever, which wouldn't be a bad pick. I don't think it's a great pick. We need so much help on the offensive line. People talked about some of the names of the offensive linemen coming out, or defensive linemen. You know, I really don't know if they know what they're going to do. I wouldn't be surprised if Haskins or Locke are there, that they go with one of those two if they're still available. I really have no idea what's going to happen. I'm going to have to punt on this one.
How would you feel about Haskins or Locke? Because I think Locke might be the guy that is available there. How are you looking at that?
And most people probably would think I'm an idiot. Maybe I am and probably would disagree. I would just like to get back to a plan and I would like to quit bringing in retread old guys.
Yeah.
Get our quarterback for the future and just hang with him and develop around a young quarterback. That's the direction I'd like to go. You know, just from my perspective as a fan, I can't get excited about Joe Flacco.
No.
I definitely wasn't excited about Case Keenum. There's a reason organizations are letting these guys go. You know, these people are paid millions and millions of dollars. It's not like they're going to all of a sudden become dramatically better or top flight quarterbacks just because they're coming to Denver. You know, that's not going to happen. So a mid-level quarterback and then trying to fill in gaps around and make us a Super Bowl champion again, like when Peyton was with us and we won the Super Bowl. I just think that diminishes really what Peyton was able to do from not only a physical standpoint, but a mental standpoint. And so trying to recapture that formula, which I think is what Elway's doing, I just think that's fooey balooey. I don't think that's going to happen. Peyton was that special. We're not going to find Joe Flacco to be that special. So let's just do it the right way and draft a young John Elway, whoever that might be, and stick with Elway for 15 or 16 years like we did when we did have John Elway.
Well, and there is a kind of, I guess, plan or blueprint in place where you go out and you get that young guy and you ride it out with him for a year or two. And then by year 3 or year 4, you're still not paying him a ton of money and you can build a team around him.
Yep.
And I'm looking at this. It's completely upside down. We're playing a Joe Flacco all the money, so you can't build as much around him.
Right.
And I'm sitting there going, I don't know. What's the old thing? You're crazy if you keep doing the same thing again and again and expect a different result. That's what they're doing.
I get it. It's very frustrating. And, and then you add on top that we're also paying Case Keenum. So we're paying a quarterback basically $28 million in the twilight of his career. Thus, we can't go out and get the other pieces in free agency that we need. So we are again stuck in the middle area of hell, where we can't go up, we can't go down. We're just stuck.
Yeah, you're stuck in 8-8 mode, and so you can't get better picks. You can't get better people, and at the same time, you're not bad enough to go get those top flight guys that you really want. Ugh.
Yeah.
It's all gone bad fast, and it depresses me every single year right now. Coach, I got to say, thank you so much for stopping in at the Daily Dose, though. We enjoy your visits every time. Every time you come on, I get feedback from listeners. They love having you come in and just give your insight. Coach, you've been working in sports for, 40 years now. You've seen it all. You've experienced it all. It might be at a different level, but you still have to deal with people. And at the end of the day, you've got to know how to push buttons and get, you know, your players to do the right things. You've dealt with that, and you give us so much insight when you stop by the Dose.
I really appreciate that, and I can't tell you how much I enjoy it, and I don't get the opportunity to do this much with any of my coworkers or in the role I have here at in Fort Collins. So I'm really excited and always very grateful for the opportunity. So thank you.
Thanks, Coach. We appreciate your time.
Take care.
Hey, it is Friday, and we have made it through another week. I have to say thank you so much to Russ McKinstry for spending some time with us and for sharing your thoughts on a number of things with us this week. I have to say thank you to all of you for listening to The Daily Dose every day. Thank you so much for reaching out. Thank you for sharing the show. Thank you for subscribing to the show wherever you listen. Don't forget, the NFL Draft does start next Thursday, and we will be getting you ready for all the happenings that will be taking place in Nashville, Tennessee. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all on Monday. Have a great weekend.